You're doing all the right things, like eating clean and staying active, but nearly all of us are still missing a key piece, minerals. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's not getting, supporting mood, energy, immunity, and nervous system balance. It's made from ionic trace minerals your body actually absorbs and comes in three delicious flavors, blue raspberry, blue Hawaiian, and blue acai. Because your body can't make minerals and modern food and water don't supply enough, start with minerals. Start with Concentrace. Find it now at traceminerals.com.
I want out.
You sure about this?
I have never been more sure in my life.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 33, Lexi Gets Stiffed. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
We feel you, Amanda. Hello, Tara, Dave.
Hello!
Before we get into this episode, whose title is not as egregious as some and probably is a play on Freddy Got Fingered, what a time it was to be alive, some notes about what's going on the Patreon, specifically episode 190 that drops May 3rd. We are watching Monica Keena and Doug Savant in First Daughter. Not that one. The other one, the 1999 one with Mariel Hemingway. It will be on Tubi by the time our episode drops. We will link to that in the show notes. It is on Dailymotion in the meantime. You can watch it there for as long as it takes someone over there to figure out that it is there. but we hope that you will join us. It's sort of a weird, remember when TBS was in the action movie business, relic. And we'd love to have you listen along. Again, with this podcast.com/club. For more information to listen to that and the 189 other episodes we've done.
Would you believe Freddy Got Fingered was 2001? My God, it was after this.
Shit.
People were just getting verbed. So coming this week, again with them, the April edition is dropping May 2nd. This is, of course, our monthly recap digest of 90210MG, Tori and Jenny's podcast. Again, as usual, we are in the time machine recording this on April 12th. So I have only listened to one of April's episodes this month thus far, even though, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, they keep jamming in episodes of Tori's new solo podcast, Misspelling, onto the OMG feed. I have thus far resisted, but everything that I keep hearing about it makes me think, oh God, I am going to have to keep with this too.
We're going to have to. And then we're going to have to call someone in California to get some help.
Again With Them is a perk for our Patreon high rollers at the $5 level and up. So if you want to hear not just the current episode, but all of the archives, kick up that pledge. So that is something you can do at againwiththispodcast.com/club. And that's not all the news we have, is it, Sarah?
No, thank you for asking. We have a call-in show. It's coming June 3rd, so you have plenty of time to get your calls in or texts. You can call or text us at 210-920-4699. That's 210-920-HO-99. We hope that you will do so. If you don't or can't for whatever reason, like you're geo-blocked or something, if you don't have access to that, you can also send us an email, hello@againwiththispodcast.com, with a voice message. We would love to hear from you. Questions, theories, rants about James Earl Jones's stupid plot lines. We are here for all of it.
Yes, this is going to drop after, it'll be the week after the Melrose Place series finale. So if you have final thoughts about the show just in time in our timeline for there to be talk of yet another revival, now's the time to say goodbye and maybe hello to Melrose Place. So we would love to hear from you. Speaking of Melrose Place, let's talk about it, starting with our B plot. Terry gets more aggressive in her efforts to get between Ryan and Megan. How can we tell Sarah is really a McBride? Because we open her story this week on the good old basketball court as she hoops it up with Ryan, Terry, and Megan. Literally seconds into the episode, Terry hits Megan in the eye with the ball and then trash talks her for being too soft to play with them, basically. And it works. As Megan, choking up, excuses herself from the game. Ryan is concerned that Megan's eyelid might fall off after she leaves, but only for a second, then he goes back to playing. After a very large workplace setback we'll get to in the A-plot, Ryan finds Megan still at her desk after dark and says he missed her at dinner. Obviously, I know it is just makeup on her, but her poor eyes, you can see in the visual aids, they really did a good job making it look terrible. Shiner.
They did. Yeah, to the point where I actually thought that maybe something had happened to the actor's eye and they had like reverse engineered this whole story. But then I was like, oh, right. McBride's live on the basketball court. Of course, this is fake. They did do a good job, though.
They did. Megan figured she would let Ryan have family time without her. Plus, she wanted to work on her resignation letter, assuming Amanda's going to fire her in the morning anyway. We'll get to it. Ryan offers to talk to Amanda, and Megan turns her baleful black eye to him as she says she wishes he were as eager to stick up for her with Terry. Ryan says Terry was showing off her athletic skills, but Megan says Terry likes him. Ryan snits that Terry has always hated him. He thought Megan wanted to be in his life and in Sarah's. Megan says what matters is what Terry wants, which is Ryan. And he accuses Megan of using Terry as an excuse to run away from their relationship. And Megan blurts that she's quitting this job and moving out of the complex, which kind of proves Ryan's point, honestly. Like, I get where she's coming from, but whatever. And then it's time for Terry to prove Megan's point. Terry sneaks into Ryan's room, takes off her robe to reveal a red teddy, not unlike Alexandra Paul's old Baywatch swimsuit. Not an accident, I'm pretty sure.
I'm also pretty sure of that. It's also less revealing.
I think it is.
Say.
You're right. Her,
I mean, she looks great. Great
she
butt.
Does. Mm-hmm. She lets Ryan catch her in it when she's returning his robe, and he tries not to look at her while she slinks past him. And that night at Kyle's, the McBros have dinner with Sarah and Terry, the latter boring us all about her new love for LA. I only have so many chances left to say Kyle's, so I really wanted to put in a big long pause after that one. Anyway,
I was about to be like Dober, but then I thought maybe you froze. So
no. You can see in the visual aids the shot of Kyle sitting next to Terry, barely tolerating her because she is annoying. Anyway, she says she can really imagine herself making a life out here. Ryan says she won't have to buy any new winter coats. Maybe a robe, though, he adds pointedly. And Kyle asks if the warm weather is all that's keeping her there. And Terry says, actually, she's enjoying spending time with Ryan, who looks very uncomfortable. And Kyle, she quickly adds, which is weird since they literally just met. And when Terry and Sarah go to the can, Ryan tensely asks if Kyle thinks Terry is hitting on him. And Kyle uses a lot of words to say, duh. And the next day, Ryan's not helping himself by sleeping shirtless on his couch when Terry comes out. And when she tries to cover him up with his blanket, he gets startled and squirrely as she claims she just thought he might get cold. So Ryan decides to address the situation. Clip two.
Look, maybe this is my fault. Maybe I gave you the wrong impression, but I don't have feelings for you. I like you, but...
There's Megan.
Yeah. And, right, and I'm totally in love with her.
Ryan, I mean, all I did was pick up your blanket. If that's crossing the line, then call me guilty.
No, I just want to be clear on this.
I'm perfectly clear. It's Megan who seems to have the problem. I mean, I've been trying to get to know her, but she doesn't seem interested in getting to know me. Or Sarah, for that matter.
No, that's not true.
Look, it's only my opinion. Megan may want you, but she doesn't seem to want what comes along with you.
No, you don't know Megan, okay? She's giving you and me and Sarah space to get to know each other better.
If I were Megan, I'd make it a priority to get to know my boyfriend's family. But that's just me.
Just you, like, a week and a half ago, wanted Kyle dead, and we're going to fight him in court for custody? Like, what is happening? Whatever.
Yeah. Also, is picking up your blanket the new working shadowcaster? Because I'm not sure that's going to get out of auditions.
No.
But that's just me.
So that night, Megan climbs up to the roof with her eyes closed. Again, as I said, at night, to meet a tuxedo-clad Ryan who has set up an elegant dinner table and his old stonks client, Michael Feinstein, with an electric keyboard. Feinstein breaks in to say Ryan made him a bundle, so Megan should listen to what he has to say, which is that he is sorry he didn't listen to her. Having Sarah in his life means nothing without Megan, which I think you have that backwards. Wow. Indeed. Sarah is your child. She should probably come first, but it doesn't matter. He has brought Megan there to propose to her again, and she accepts. Zzz, we all fall asleep. No one cares. On to the A plot. Amanda loses her agency. Eve loses Peter, then her mind. We join Peter at his apartment as he packs up his stuff in the bedroom, soon getting derailed by a little pile of Polaroids of himself canoodling with Amanda. That is when Eve comes home, and when she sees what he's doing, he states that the marriage is over because Eve stranded him on the island so she could sleep with Tony. Eve shoots back that Amanda did that, and she resets all the stuff that we know about the scheme. She begs Peter to believe her, frantically kissing him and pushing him down on the bed, and although he does reciprocate, doesn't seem like his heart is totally in it. Over to the agency where it's time to screen the footage from the cruise. Amanda calls for the dailies, but the first thing we see is a helicopter shot that would surely just be B-roll added in editing, but whatever, that's not why we are seeing it. It's so we can see that Lexi's plan worked and the film is ruined. The projectionist guesses it went through an X-ray machine at the airport while Megan covers her face. And Amanda immediately turns on Megan. Clip 3.
Well, this is your fault.
Oh, look, Amanda, I'm sorry about the film, but I was only responsible for picking it up at the airport.
Well, if the film was damaged in an X-ray machine, it must have happened in Mexico. It wasn't Megan's fault.
You're still working for Lexi, aren't you?
You're out of line, Amanda. You owe Megan an apology.
Like hell I do. Don't you get it? I sunk $1 million into that commercial. The agency's future, my future, and I don't have a damn thing to show for it. It's over. I'm ruined.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
Yeah. Well, after the credits, Amanda has just parked at Kyle's. When Peter squeals in behind her and stomps out to yell at her for tricking him into having sex with her so that she would get Tony's business. Yeah, dude, you were tricked. Amanda wearily says she has had a bad day and is in no mood, and also that her feelings for Peter were sincere. And Peter spits that Amanda only cares about herself, and it's no wonder Kyle left her. When she goes to slap him for that, obviously, he grabs her wrist first and stops her because he is her true partner, as we have been saying for years. And Peter is sorry he ever met Amanda and even sorrier that he ever loved her. And Amanda has to go from there into Kyle's and gets arm grabbed by its namesake, who did not know she was back in town. Amanda neutrally says she is and she's busy, so could he bring her some wine? Whatever the customer wants, says Kyle. Amanda sits down with Tony. He doesn't want to talk about Eve, so Amanda says they can talk about the commercial. Then Eve sucked, so Amanda had the film destroyed is her cover story. But she still likes the concept for the ad if they can find the right talent. Tony guesses she is about to ask him to finance a reshoot and preemptively says no. Clip 4.
Well, you can't expect me to shell out another million of my own money.
You don't have another million. You just blew your whole wad. And I'd like you to move out of my townhouse by tonight. I'm through with you and your agency.
Hello, Amanda. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
I didn't know you two knew each other.
Well, how about you have to know someone to have lunch with them? And I believe you're sitting in my seat.
This is a joke, right?
Amanda, don't you have some packing to do? And don't think about moving back in because I don't rent to losers. And Tony, maybe we should go someplace else.
Great idea.
Okay, Tony, she thinks her name is Johnny and didn't get a second take, but go off, I guess.
That's when Kyle shows up with Amanda's Chardonnay and trying not to barf, Amanda takes off. And then we're at the complex. Eve is walking out when Travis, the ex-prison guard that she met again when he was selling Christmas trees and who tried to extort her at that time, appears in the bushes. He just got a job with the LA Patrol, which I guess is like somewhere between cop and security guard. Unclear.
Absolutely savage commentary.
Eve warns him to keep his distance or he'll be sorry, but that's no problem. He doesn't want that macho friend of hers, Kyle, coming after him again. Because remember when Kyle beat the shit out of that guy because Kyle had his own issues at Christmas time? That's what happened. Over to the hospital where Amanda finds Peter and admits she did do most of what he accused her of, like setting Eve up for Tony and making Peter miss the launch. But sex was not part of her plan. Clip 5.
No, you could push me away, you can pretend it didn't happen, but you know what we shared, and you know that we have never felt this way with anyone.
stopped loving you. And I still love you.
So he pulls her into a side room.
I've always, always loved you.
Yes, you love her.
Woohoo! We love you both together.
We really do. Honestly.
We do.
The next day, Lexi is singing in the shower. When Michael hops in with her, she kicks him out, resetting what we know about her imminent pitch to Tony. Michael would also like her to give him a show, and she's basically like, become a billionaire, and until then, get out. And then we're back at Amanda's office where Ryan is telling her there is around $30,000 in the agency's bank account, enough to cover payroll for the next 2 weeks. And he cheerfully adds that he's talked to everyone and they're all going to start hustling for more business, which they probably should have been doing all along. But Amanda says that won't be necessary and he should just divide the remaining cash among the staff because she's closing the agency. Ryan says she can rebuild, but she wants out, and anyone who wants a job will probably be able to get one working for Lexi. Looking shattered, Ryan says he's on it. Amanda says he's been a great right hand. And has he, though? Like, you've ended up here, what? So, you know. Yeah. Over to the beach where Kyle and Jane are on the deck making out next to their breakfast. Jane burbles about how happy she is with Kyle, who says reality has to set in sometime. And sometime is now. As Ryan shows up, then decides to shamble off and force Kyle to run after him and find out what he just spent an hour in the car to come tell him in person. Kyle says the agency folding is Amanda's problem. Ryan thought she could use a friend, and Kyle says she has lots, which, does she?
No.
Really? She has Peter.
This has
and that's
been
it.
Sort of like, yeah, the leitmotif of season 7 is like, she's, you know, desperate and alone because she's been a decent boss. I don't know.
Right. Anyway, Kyle confidently says Amanda will bounce back like she always does. But that night, Kyle finds Peter at the bar at Kyle's. Clip 6.
Meet Neve?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a little dinner tonight.
You don't sound too happy about it.
Really?
Would you be?
Go to the visual aids to see Peter's face when Kyle's like, you are not looking forward to seeing your rather new wife, because he's not.
No, he's not. And he's seen her eat a hot dog and he's still not excited about it. Look,
oh my
show's
God.
Almost over. Let's put things where they need to be. That's
the
all
hot
I'll say.
Dog. Peter covers that it's been a hard week at the hospital and Kyle says going around, what with Amanda shutting down the agency. This is the first Peter has heard about it. Kyle has nothing to offer Amanda, but he thought maybe Peter could bail her out. Oh, that's nice. Volunteer him, why don't you? Peter readily says he'll do what he can and is still absorbing the news when Eve comes down from the club. She thought they could go dancing later, but Peter gets a fake page from the hospital and takes off to call Amanda, obviously. She is at the office, drunk in her own business wake. She did not tell Peter about the agency because he is burdened with enough already. It's a rude way to talk about Eve, but accurate. He wants to meet, but Amanda's lease is up at midnight. She intends to stay there until 11:59. And Eve comes to tell Peter their table's ready just as Peter tells Amanda, I'll be right there, and then lies to Eve that he has an emergency at the hospital and she shouldn't wait up. And in the very next scene, he's at the agency expositing that they already turned off the electricity, which, like, nothing would happen that fast in commercial real estate.
No.
Come on. Like,
no. It's my theory is that Spats just decided to take matters into her own hands from the plaza.
I'm taking over.
Yeah. Amanda slurs that she thinks she likes the bullpen better in the dark, and they go on. Clip 7.
You know, I got a lot of money. You just say the word, I'll write you a check out for whatever you need to save this place.
Trust me, it is not worth saving.
Well, maybe not, but you are.
My life is falling apart. I don't have my agency. I don't have my building. I don't even have a place to live.
You got me.
If Eve comes with a package, I'm not interested.
It's not a package deal. Do you love me?
Duh.
Yes.
We all do.
I always have.
Oh, you especially have. This is really worth the wait for you to get what
it's
you want
true.
In the final.
It's true.
The final hours of the show. Anyway, they kiss again. Thank God. The next day, Peter brings Eve to a coffee shop for breakfast, a public place. He tensely starts by saying he cares about her a lot. Eve hopes so, since they're married. Well, about that, she's been thinking they should take that second honeymoon and starts listing places they should go and is oblivious to Peter's miserable expression, forcing him to say in so many words, he has fallen out of love with her. She can have half of everything. He just doesn't want to be married to her anymore. Rough, but okay. Leaves no ambiguity. Eve guesses it's about Amanda, but Peter claims it's only about him and he doesn't want to stay married and risk hurting her. But he already has hurt her more than he could possibly imagine, she says, and then throws her water in his face because she hates him and she hates Amanda. Over to the beach. Jane walks in on Kyle on the phone to Ryan, getting the no update on Amanda. Jane gets all pinchy as she says she should have known he would be asking about her. Every guy in Amanda's life hangs on to her forever. Which, like, Jane, have you met her? Obviously they do.
Well, yeah. If you want to get in this fight, grow your hair out, please.
For a start. Kyle says he's just trying to reach out to a friend. Also, he and Amanda are technically still married. Jane goes to pout in the closet. Kyle follows and they argue about how much they should deal with their past partners. Jane hoped things would be different with Kyle, but apparently it was too good to last. And at the rock and roll club that night, Eve is standing at the bar glaring while Michael drunkenly complains about Lexi, whom he cares about more than any of his exes, including the ones Eve doesn't know because they're dead and no, Michael did not kill them. Anyway, clip 8.
I never been so head over heels.
You got my condolences, pal. You're only going to get your heart broken.
Oh, it's already breaking. Well, how would you feel if the woman you were being intimate with wanted to be intimate with somebody else?
I'll tell you exactly how I'd feel. I'd want to know because then I could hate him.
You mean her?
I mean him and her. Oh.
Well, I can't hate Lexi. I just think she's in denial of her feelings.
Get past it, pal. Forget her. Make her pay. It's the only satisfaction you're going to get.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've been there, right?
I'm there right now.
You seem very bitter, see? I don't do bitter well. Hey, maybe I could stop her.
You are the eternal optimist. What are you going to do? You're going to stop her every day for the rest of her life.
Sure, if I have to. Yeah.
Well,
good luck to everyone.
Over to Tony's, where Tony and Lexi are badly pretending their meeting is about business, 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 business. Clip 9.
Did I mention how beautiful you look?
Did I mention how nervous I am? I've never actually given a pitch without my staff, my office, storyboards, and other visual aids.
Well, I like what I've seen so far. But what do you have planned for me, exactly?
Thank you. I was going to show you just how sexy I think your commercial could be. But you have to use your imagination. You have to envision someone like me, almost as sexy, like a younger Kathy Lee belting out a song, although not the song I'm going to sing for you now, but a theme song for your cruise line. I'm confusing you here, aren't I?
I'm confused. Do you think the thing that people sing is called a song? Because that's what you just said.
Yeah. So why does, I mean, I know why Kathy Lee keeps coming up, but please don't make this worse.
Anyway, clip 10.
No, I'm the audience and you're the show. I think I get it. And the way you're dressed, I'm already inclined to love your performance.
God, I just love a man who appreciates the arts.
So then I guess Jamie Lunar's team negotiated for her to do a full musical number as a springboard to a run as Velma in Chicago on Broadway, or that was the
hope, I guess.
It takes up time. I'm fine with it. It's also a striptease. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a striptease. And while she's doing it, Michael creeps up outside and mournfully watches through the window as Lexi ends up on Tony's lap making out. When Michael runs around to the front of the house, a car pulls in and he loyally runs back to try to motion to Lexi that someone is there. She dismisses him with her eyes, so Michael runs back to his car and starts honking the horn. And this still doesn't stop Tony and Lexi until Tony hears the door and hisses, "It's my wife," and Lexi doesn't want to get shot. So she hauls ass, leaping into Michael's car in her underwear as he says she is lucky he was jealous enough to show up there, and not so lucky as the woman who played Mrs. Marlin in the last episode because she only appears off screen.
Yeah, I guess she went out for cigarettes so that she could light them with her gun lighter.
Indeed.
Good luck, lady.
The next day, Kyle shows up at what I presume is Amanda's hotel room based on how upset he is when it's Peter who opens the door. Both of the blondes are sheepish to have been caught like this, as Kyle explains he heard about the agency, was worried about Amanda, but he should have known better and is sorry to interrupt. And Amanda chases him to tell him not to be angry and say she appreciates his concern. But he's not angry. He's embarrassed to have come in the first place. And he says he hopes they'll be happy, but he sure doesn't sound like that. And that night, I don't know if we can still call it the rock and roll club if their performer is Michael Feinstein. But anyway, also Kyle is working there, which I thought he traded his share for Amanda's half of the house.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Where does he... Because he was also serving downstairs at the Kyle's. So I don't know where he's supposed to work or who owns what. Also, I don't care. Moving on.
Yeah, he still owns the restaurant. I think that was the deal, that he wanted the restaurant and house. But then the club is a separate business that Amanda bought into. Who cares? Whatever. There are only two episodes after this.
Right,
Jane comes by seeming to be in a better mood than the last time we saw her. He says she looks beautiful, which her face does, but her hair is awful and she's in a twin set, the mm-hmm. color of dog diarrhea. Trust me, I know what I'm saying. That's the color. But
also baby poo.
Sure.
She'll also accept baby poo.
Jane jokes that she was hoping to pick up a great guy at the club and apologizes. And so does Kyle, belatedly agreeing with Jane that he needs to make a clean break with the past. Jane guesses he went to see Amanda, and as Eve eavesdrops behind them, Kyle confirms that he did see Amanda and Peter was there in a robe. And Jane is sorry, but Kyle's not. He's glad that Amanda has someone to lean on. And I don't think Eve is, as she walks behind the bar in a daze and squeezes the glass she's holding into shards, as you can see in the visual aids. And then we're at Lexi's. Michael opens a bottle of wine and tells her he meant it when he said he was jealous. He does not want to share her with Tony. But Lexi says from now on, it's just her and her fish. I don't know even where the fish came from, honestly, but fine. She has the contracts she almost had Tony sign, but unlike Amanda, she can admit when she has failed. No account is worth what she went through last night, which, like, babe, you brought that on yourself entirely, but whatever. Lexi only cares about Michael until there's a knock at the door. It's Tony with roses and champagne to apologize. And he wants to pick up where they left off. And Michael clears his throat. Lexi introduces him as one of her tenants, rough, before hustling him out. Says he should forget everything she said before Tony got there, because when it comes to getting something Amanda wants, Lexi's like a pit bull in heat. Back inside, Tony asks about the dinner table set for two. Lexi claims to have had a psychic feeling that Tony was going to come by, and doesn't Tony feel it? Well, he'd feel it more in bed. Lexi's about it, so he says he will meet her in a minute, and then he shakes out several pills. And when I was watching this episode, I sent it to Dave because these pills are a classic Halloween candy. Canadians call them Rockets. Americans call them mm-hmm. Smarties. They are like those powdery, sour candies that are like sweet tarts in a cellophane mm-hmm. tube. Not Altoids this time, but not pills. However, they're supposed to be the boner pills that Mrs. Marlin mentioned in the last episode. And he washes a couple down with some wine and then goes into the bedroom where Lexi is naked under several contract pages. If he signs, she'll sew in the time of his life. So he does. Clip 11.
Careful. It's a rollerball.
What? I mean, I actually found that delightful. But
I did too.
What?
Anyway, he signs. She giggles and moans. Everyone's happy. Back to Kyle's. Where Eve is using her glass-smashing hand, now bandaged, to hoist a shot. Telling Kyle she is celebrating the end of her marriage. It's always Peter and Amanda. She almost falls off the stool, but when Kyle says he's going to take her home, she says that's the last place she wants to go, and he backs off as she rants on about all the times they claimed nothing was going on and jokes about Kyle throwing Amanda through a window, dark and too soon. Kyle knows how she feels, but she has to let it go. Eve says she's over it. She already has a date for tonight. Clip 12.
Did I ever tell you? When I was in high school, I was a cheerleader, and I dated the captain of the football team. And then I killed him. There's still some men in L.A. who want to sleep with me.
Oh, yeah. If it isn't a town bully.
I thought I told you to stay away from
me. No, Kyle, hey, hold on a second. Leave him alone. He's my date.
What?
Don't mess with me, all right? Because I will press charges next time you let your fist do the walking.
It's practically a cop. L.A. Patrol.
Yeah, that's right. Got the law on my side. Let's go, darling.
Yuck.
Oh, boy.
Back to Lexi, who's now on top of Tony, sexily complaining that she's doing all the work before noticing Tony's just staring up into space. So
no.
She calls Michael and yells at him to come help because Tony isn't breathing and she thinks she killed him. And Michael comes up and confirms she did. Downstairs, Peter comes back to his place calling Eve's name, but she doesn't answer. And when he follows the sound of her giggles, he finds her in bed with Travis. Peter recognizes him from Christmas. Eve says she's not scared of him anymore. He's the best sex she's ever had. 10 times the man Peter ever was. Ma'am, now you're just talking stupid. No one believes
that
for a second. Even Travis doesn't believe it, surely.
Right. I know. Even Peter's like, okay.
Peter tells Eve not to do this to herself, and she orders him to leave and take his junk with him, meaning his actual junk, not his, you know, parts. And he does, leaving Travis to tell Eve she fulfilled all his fantasies. Eve would like him to reciprocate by making Peter and his blonde slut bleed. Travis nervously says he's trying to turn over a new leaf, so Eve furiously kicks him out. Clip 13.
Lady, you're a real looker, but you're off your rocker.
Get out before I make you bleed! I don't need you! I don't need anybody! I'm a cheerleader! 2, 4, 6, 8. Who can I annihilate?
Oh my God. So dumb.
And that's the episode. Let's close it up, starting with our episode MVP. Michael, he did save Lexi from getting shot
and
with a lighter.
The line delivery of good diagnosis, he's dead, was pretty good, but I'm going to go with Peter for finally figuring it out.
Yes.
Ciao, buddy.
Least valuable player. Eve making a lot of messes.
Mm-hmm. Terry. Mm-hmm. Him?
Yep. Solid.
Next time on Again With This, Dawson's Creek edition, weird science abounding. Joey and Pacey's snail biology project is more about chemistry, and Dawson's experiment in double date meddling results in a no fun at square. Don't get up. I'll fire myself. But before I go, don't forget to check out our visual aids. You'll find those for all episodes of the podcast at againwiththispodcast.com. And we've got that call-in show coming up, so please ask us your questions and share your theories, crackpot and non, with us and your fellow listeners at 210-920-4699. You can call or text. I'm breakfast dump Sarity Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarity Bunting. My co-host is weirdly branded sex pen Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is ruined. Talk to you next time.